Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. It is May, and we are talking about Military Appreciation Month. But I would be remiss if we also didn't talk about Mother's Day and have some conversations with mothers. So today joining us will be Jeff Frisbee, the Executive Director for the National Guard Association of Michigan, Mike Wilson, the Executive Director of the Veterans of Foreign Wars National Home for Children, Jacqueline Ransom, the President of the Michigan Blue Star Mothers of America, and Roger Rappaport, a producer, author, and playwright, to talk about an upcoming play. There is a lot going on this show today, a lot of information. We have four guests. Usually we have three. So you all want to make sure that you have your pens, your pencils, whatever you need to do to write down all the information we're going to share on today. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. On today's show, we're talking to Jeff Frisbee, former Master Sergeant in the Arkansas Army National Guard. He spent 3 years in Iraq with the 39th Infantry Brigade on multiple deployments. While there, he conducted over 300 combat patrols and served as security when Iraq held their first free election. While enlisted, he served as the president for the Arkansas Enlisted Association and now serves as the executive director for the Michigan National Guard Association of Michigan, the professional association for the soldiers, airmen, and families of the Michigan National Guard. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you.
So, you know, we're so excited to have you. I know there is a lot of things that you have going on, upcoming, but we'd love to hear a little bit more about what the National Guard Association of Michigan is and what you all do.
Absolutely. So the association itself is, like you said, is the professional organization for the soldiers and the airmen for the Michigan National Guard. Now, what that means is if you look at like a dentist will have the dental association, and 9 out of 10 dentists will choose an Oral-B toothbrush, and you'll see a commercial on TV that says, you know, these professionals chose this product. Or if you're a police officer, you join the Fraternal Order of Police. So for every profession, there is a professional organization that represents those members. And we are the professional organization for the Michigan National Guard, for every soldier, for every airman, for all of the families. We represent them. We are like an advocacy organization. That's really what we do. We are involved with those legislative issues that affect the National Guard. But really at that soldier level, we look at those things that what can change the lives, but you can better the National Guard in the state of Michigan and nationwide.
That's great. That's great information, Jeff. And so I, you know, one of the questions I have, and I know that you work very closely with our organization, our agency, when we're referring veterans to you, is, you know, people may wonder, you know, do I have to be serving in the National Guard right now to receive assistance from NAGM, or, you know, what are the criteria?
So to be a member of the association, you do have to be either a guardsman or a former guardsman. However, it would be very, very unique for us to have any type of legislative issue that we ever address that is just for the National Guard. Typically, you know, if we fight for a subject matter, it's always going to impact every service member, no matter what branch they come from. If it's TRICARE retired, if it's educational benefits, in some form or fashion, the impact of what we do changes the program itself for every service member that's ever served. We also have this grant that we run within the state, the Veteran Support Grant. That grant, the partnership we have with the state of Michigan, that grant is eligible for any veteran, no matter what branch they served across the entire nation, as long as they currently reside within the state of Michigan.
Well, we appreciate you for that. And I know we've referred a lot of individuals to that grant and vice versa. So, you know, I know that you all are working hard to continue to support those efforts. How can someone, if they want to either be involved as a member, contact you, or if they want to support the grant financially, contact you, or even be a part of, you know, applying for it? How can they reach you?
Absolutely. So the easiest way to make contact would be just through our website. Very, very simple. www.ngam.org. If you go to that website, you should find everything you need to contact us, email addresses, phone numbers. The grant itself is linked there. And then you'll also find several other opportunities, such as the state conference that we have coming up in May. We have a conference that will be in Detroit 2021-22. We have a service day where we're going to actually build, refurbish a home within the Detroit area with Habitat for Humanity. We also have this campaign right now where we're working to help raise service dogs. We call it the 54 by 24 campaign. We're working to raise money to sponsor a service dog for every veteran, for a veteran in every state. All of that is on the website.
That's huge. And I know that you all have a huge suicide prevention awareness campaign that you're doing, and a lot of concerts and events and different types of things. So can you tell us, you know, in the short time we have left, some of the events that you have upcoming that people can participate in?
So we mentioned the state conference. That is probably the most engaging way for people to be involved. When we have the state conference in May, it's 2021-22 May at Motor City Casino in Detroit. That will set the legislative directives for us for the next year, maybe even the next several years. The members have the opportunity to really speak out and say, hey, I want to be involved, engaged with the future of this organization, what you represent, and the direction that you're headed. But we also have a golf tournament that we're holding that will be in June, that's in conjunction with the Michigan National Guard's AT at Camp Grayling. We have two future conferences that we're working to bring 7,000 guardsmen from all 54 states and territories to Detroit in 2024. We're actively looking for volunteers who want to be involved with that. It will be the largest two national conferences for the National Guard nationwide. That will be in August of 2024 in Detroit.
Wow. And so I'm assuming you're looking for sponsors too. And anyone who's interested can go to NGAM.org to find out more information. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jeff. Great information, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thanks. Don't go away. When we return, we will have a conversation with Mike Wilson of the National Veterans Home for Children. So stick around.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. It is May, and we are talking about Military Appreciation Month, but I would be remiss if we also didn't talk about Mother's Day and have some conversations with mothers. So today joining us will be Jeff Frisbee, the Executive Director for the National Guard Association of Michigan, Mike Wilson, the Executive Director of the Veterans of Foreign Wars National Home for Children, Jacqueline Ransom, the President of the Michigan Blue Star Mothers of America, and Roger Rappaport, a producer, author, and playwright, to talk about an upcoming play. There is a lot going on this show today, a lot of information. We have four guests. Usually we have three. So you all want to make sure that you have your pens, your pencils, whatever you need to do to write down all the information we're going to share on today. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Join me in welcoming our second guest to the show, Mike Wilson. He retired from the Michigan Army National Guard and spent 6 years as a Survivor Outreach Services Support Coordinator, where he would help the families of the fallen. He then became a Regional Support Coordinator for the MVAA before he became the Executive Director of the Veterans of Foreign Wars National Home for Children. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And that was definitely a short bio. I mean, you've done so much for the state and for veterans all around. I mean, not only as a regional coordinator for the MVAA, but then you became a senior veterans community engagement officer. And then you were working with Buddy to Buddy, and you created some of the presentations for the schools program. So you have done it all, and you just keep serving veterans. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks. You know, I couldn't think of anything better to do after I retired. You know, I spent 27 years supporting soldiers. I didn't think what else I could be doing besides supporting veterans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It's noble, and service after service is so important. So, you know, now you're serving as the executive director of the VFW National Home for Children. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know this is a little known secret that many people don't know about.
It really is. It's too bad it's the best kept secret in the state of Michigan. But the VFW National Home has been around since 1925. It started out as a donated cattle farm that the one of the VFW life members at the time felt was necessary. He donated the property, 640 acres. And in 1925, we moved in our first resident. And five children. And that's kind of where it all started. So the VFW National Home, for the most part, was a place where families of our deceased service members or disabled service members could go and live a normal life. Children, instead of going to orphanages, could come there and live with house families and just live a normal life. And so it's been like that right up until 2012, when we became an organization to support the veteran family, military and veteran family. And so we have 42 beautiful brick single family homes that veterans and their families can move into and spend a few years working on goals, working on plans, and just kind of make themselves a better veteran or better citizen for our great state.
Well, that's great. And so we talk about families being able to live there. I mean, what does that look like? Is there a cost for them to live there? Is there work that they need to do? Like, what's the eligibility criteria?
So eligibility criteria is there's three lanes of eligibility, either an active military member, a deploying guard or reserve is one lane. Then there's the veteran family lane. And then finally, we have what we consider the legacy families. If there are families of or descendants of VFW or auxiliary members, they can live there as well. You have to have children. It's a place where families with children go to live. And what they do when they get there is they work with a case manager, they do an assessment, and they create goals for themselves. And the time that they're there, they live rent-free. There's no cost to live there. There's no energy costs. We have daycare on site. There's no daycare costs. And we want them to concentrate on completing their goals and making themselves better. And that's what the program is really all about, is giving them that opportunity to take a couple of years to figure it out, whether they need to go to college, whether they need to look for better employment. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And so do you have any openings right now?
We have actually about 15 houses available. And so we are filling them as we go. We didn't take any new families throughout COVID, and we had a number of families move out. And so now that we're on the other side of the pandemic, so to speak, we're back open for business and we're filling houses.
Okay. So yeah, 15 openings. I mean, mm-hmm. Is there a limit to, you know, for instance, I have six children, not that I'm moving there, but, <Yeah. laughs> but you know, someone may have five kids or four kids. Is there a limit to the number of kids a family can have?
There isn't. I mean, the closer we get to filling the houses, that may become limited, but the homes are 3, 4, 5 bedrooms. We even have a 7 bedroom home on campus. Wow. And so, you know, we can accommodate just about any size family there.
Wow, that is impressive. And so, you know, how can people find out more or get more information about becoming a resident of the VFW National Home for Children here in Michigan?
Well, you can go to www.vfwnationalhome.org, and our hotline number is there. And I don't have the hotline on me, but you can go to the website and get the hotline number and call the hotline, or you can apply online, start the initial application process at that website.
Now, we know you're providing these services to better veterans and their families, and you're providing it at no cost, but somebody has to pay for that. How are you funding this?
Well, we have the good fortune of generous donations from our VFWs and auxiliaries around the United States and another group called the Military Order of the Cootie. You know, that's a kind of a Shriners group. That's a faction of the VFW that do some amazing things. They were started to support veterans and orphans in orphanages and entertain them and help them as early as 1899. And so they've been around forever. So those three groups are our primary donors, and we fundraise and, you know, apply for grants and so on and so forth. But that's how we're funded.
Do you have any upcoming events in the next few months?
We don't have anything on campus that we're working on for the public. We do have an anniversary in 2025. We'll have spent 100 years doing what we do. And so we'll want everybody to know about that. We'll certainly be inviting the community out to join us. We are working on programs, but like I said, just coming out of the pandemic, we're just kind of starting to get our feet back under ourselves. And so I'll certainly make sure you're aware of things we have coming up as they're planned.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, you talked about building families, you know, building people up, whether they're active duty families with children or, you know, coming out. Can you tell us a success story? Can you talk about, you know, a family that kind of really took it to heart?
Yeah, we have numbers of stories. The average, I'll say the usual story is a veteran with a family living on a military base, leaves active duty, realizes that the money they were making on active duty doesn't spread as far in the civilian world as it did in the military world. They get themselves in trouble. They either have a couple of car payments or house payment and just run out of money. They can't go to college because they're handcuffed to a job. Can't better themselves. And so that's the families that come live with us. And that's the families that become successful. They get a chance, like I said, to find a better paying job or take some time and go to college, use their GI Bill. As we know, a lot of times the GI Bill is one of the benefits that just never gets used by veterans. So this is their opportunity to use that.
That's great. And I know we refer folks to you all the time. And I know that you utilize the resources that we offer at the MVAA as well. Yes. You know, for eligibility, just thinking, you know, there's some veterans out there who maybe they were discharged under general other than honorable or general. Are they eligible or is it just honorable discharge?
Yeah, we don't accept dishonorable discharges, but general under honorable is just fine. You know, we know there are veterans who, you know, didn't complete their first hitch, their first tour of service, and wind up getting out a little early and, you know, they end up with a general discharge, and that's okay. And so we help them right themselves here in the civilian world. So,
well, that's amazing. And I am so appreciative of what you do there in Eaton Rapids. They definitely have a great leader in you as an executive director. And I know that you'll continue to take this organization to the next level. Can you share one more time the website so that people who are interested in either donating, applying, or just finding out more information can find out?
Absolutely. It's www.vfwnationalhome.org.
All right. You heard that here. And if you forgot or weren't able to write that down, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. And we can provide that information. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mike.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And when we return, we'll be speaking with Jacqueline Ransom, a Blue Star mother, about all that's going on in that area. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and our next guest is Jacqueline Ransom. She is the president of Blue Star Mothers. Her son enlisted into the Marines 20 years ago. At the time, she had never heard of the organization, but when a friend asked her about it, she decided to do some research and discovered an entire community of sisters who understood what it means to have a child in the military and is striving to make a difference in the support and comfort they offer to all service members and veterans. Welcome to the show, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, I know that there are Blue Star Mothers, there's Gold Star Mothers. Can you tell us what Blue Star Mothers are and what y'all do in your community of military mothers?
Blue Star Mothers are women or primary women caregivers of children in the military.
Okay,
that's the only That's the only qualification to being a Blue Star Mother. They can be in basic training. They can be active duty, military, reserves, or veterans.
Okay, so in military and then after they're out as well, so you can be a part of it.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay, and what are some of the things that you all do in the Blue Star Mothers organization here in Michigan?
Well, we, of course, we support each other. That's a huge thing, because as you said just a few minutes ago, nobody else gets it except another Blue Star Mother. We also support veterans, and we support our active military members. We send care packages overseas. We volunteer at VA hospitals, nursing homes, homeless shelters. We sometimes bring like an Easter baskets to the veterans in a nursing home. We also raise funds for veteran service organizations. And we try to raise awareness for veterans issues such as suicide and PTSD. And we present Gold Star Mothers and families with a Gold Star banner upon the death of their loved military member.
Okay. Yeah, that's so important. All the work that you just mentioned is so important. And I think about the fact that, you know, when I was serving in the military, you know, I know my mother didn't know anything about this. And, you know, I'm going to share this information with her now. as a military mother. But and I know my mother-in-law doesn't know about the Blue Star Mothers as well. So the fact that you all are doing so much in the community and serving those who are on the same wavelength as your military member or veteran, as well as those who are coming down the line, that's phenomenal. So, you know, do you guys have anything that you're doing special for Mother's Day, as Mother's Day is tomorrow? And so, what, you have any plans?
Not particularly for Mother's Day, but one of the events that we do mostly during the month of May is we present red, white, and blue honor cords to students in high school who have committed to the military. And then they can wear these cords at their commencement exercises. And that's a huge thing. Huge.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'd never heard of that. And so how does the school find out how they can get that for their students? Or is it something that you all just have a relationship with all the schools? How does that work?
Well, we do have relationships with local schools, but the school counselors are in contact with the recruiters and verify those students who have committed. And then the schools will contact us and say, we have this many students. Can you please come to the ceremony and bring this many cords? And then we present them. And it's just awesome. Just awesome.
Do you have events? Chapters all over the state, or how does that work?
We do. We have 14 chapters within the state of Michigan. There are across the nation almost 200 chapters.
14 so, right here in Michigan. Okay.
Yes.
I assume you talked about care packages and some of the support and money that you donate to organizations and things like that. So how do you raise that money? How do you raise the money to be able to provide some of these services to active military members and then veterans and organizations as well?
We do a lot of fundraising events. Some chapters do like a dinner dance type of thing. Some chapters do bowl-a-thons. That's all I can think of right off the top of my head, but yeah, a lot of fundraising.
Do you have any events that you can think of that are coming up soon?
On May 26th, we've been invited to the Capitol for a memorial service that the Capitol there, they do that every year in May, because they're in session Tuesday through Saturday, so it's the session closest to Memorial Day, and we've been invited to sit in on that. And that's a very moving ceremony.
It definitely is. And I know that it's not necessarily open to the public, but it is a moving ceremony. It's very necessary. And you know, I'm sure I'll see you there. You know, can you tell us why it's important for the work that you do? Like, why do you do the work that you do? I don't know if people really realize the need for it.
One thing we can never do is we can never forget. We cannot ever forget those who serve and those who have served. And that is one of the most important parts of our mission, is to honor and remember. And my son is a veteran, and you yourself as a veteran, I'm sure you know how important that is, that we always keep our veterans honored and remembered.
Well, and I don't think that people realize too, the amount of stress. I mean, I don't have a child in the military yet. I know that my children are thinking about it, or they're pushing that idea. They're some of them are in right at the beginning of college right now. And so I don't have that. But what I will say is that I can imagine, just even in the conversations when I joined with my mother and the concern that she had about me being in the military and then being called up during Operation Iraqi Freedom and put on orders and leaving my three children and husband to go off to potentially maybe not come back. And so I can imagine the stress and the anxiety that she had. And I know she's a praying woman, but she didn't have this type of support. So I suspect that this is that type of group that, you know, with parents who may not know, or mothers who may not know what to expect or what to do, this is what that group is there for.
Yes. Yes. Most chapters traditionally we have monthly meetings. And one of the important things of that meeting is that we all, when we're gathered around, we take turns and we just say, my child is here, my child is there, my child is retiring, my child is getting ready to be deployed. And we cry on each other's shoulders and we pray for each other. And you know, that helps, just knowing there's other people who have been through it and you can get advice and comfort.
Well, that's great. Well, if someone wants to join a chapter, a local chapter, or find out more information about how to be involved, where should they go?
Well, there is a website. It's BlueStarMothersOfAmerica.org. And if you go to that website, there is a search bar where you can search for a local chapter. And you can join right online. And then somebody from that chapter that you joined will contact you and say, hey, come to a meeting. This is when we meet and where.
Well, that's great information. And as always, you all can give us a call at 1-800-MISH-VET. That's 1-800-642-4838. If you weren't able to capture that information, thank you so much for joining us today, Jacqueline, and sharing your story. And I wish your service member all the best.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for your service.
Thank you. And just a reminder to our listeners, if you're interested in being a guest on our show, or if you have an idea for a topic to be discussed on a future show, please visit our website, michigan.gov/MVAA. Click on the About section and scroll down to the Veterans Perspective link. We'd love to hear from you. Stick around for our next guest when we return on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We are joined by our final guest, Roger Rapoport, who adapted Peter Ferry's award-winning novel, Old Heart, for the May 14th and 15th world premiere at Detroit's Redford Theater. He's a producer of three award-winning films, Waterwalk, Pilot Era, and Coming Up for Air. The Muskegon-based author of the Michael Moore biography, Citizen Moore and Hillsdale, Greek Tragedy in America's Heartland. And he also has a new novel coming out this year, My Search for Sarah Price. His writing appears in Wired, Stat News, and Los Angeles Times and the Detroit Free Press. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to be with you as well. And, you know, while we were during the break, we were just talking about your time in Muskegon, the fact that I've been in Muskegon and some of the plays that I've been in. And it's just really exciting to be able to talk with someone who's well-versed in this area, because arts are so important for the community as well as veterans as well. So thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
So, you know, we're talking about this play that's going to that's going to premiere next weekend. And can you tell us a little bit more about the play and why you decided to do this?
Well, Peter Ferry's novel, Old Heart, was published in 2015. And people all over the country have fallen in love with it. It's won many awards. He lives in South Haven. It's a story of a World War II vet, Tom Johnson, who's about to go into assisted living in Detroit at age 85. And he decides, no, he's got a better idea. He disappears on a plane to the Netherlands to reconnect with a translator that he worked with during World War II to smuggle food and supplies to the people starving in the northern cities in Holland that were still behind Nazi lines. It's remarkably similar to what's going on right now with humanitarian relief in the Ukraine. And I'm a film producer. I produced three films here in West Michigan in the Midwest with some of the top actors, some of whom you've worked with, like Kirk Wahamaki at Muskegon Civic Theater. And we have produced a play that's opening May 14th and 15th at the Redford Theater in Detroit, where all three of my films have premiered. This play about the vet Tom Johnson has attracted a lot of interest from the veterans community because it tells a very little known story about the Red Ball Express team that was central to basically carrying all the weapons, ammo, and fuel for Patton's advancing army after D-Day. And most of the soldiers in this unit that drove round-the-clock shifts supplying the army at a time when the sea lanes were all blocked and the roads had all been blown up by the Nazis, the main highways, is a really a central part of the last part of the war. And Tom Johnson was in our story as a veteran of this unit.
Wow. Well, you know, I know that this is going to be airing in Detroit at the Redford Theater. And I know I'm assuming that there's still availability to get tickets. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, I know this is not the only place that the play is going to be seen. This is international, right? You're going to be doing something.
Right. We are planning to take the play to the Netherlands, where there's a lot of interest in this story. Most people, of course, know everything about D-Day, but they don't know anything about the Red Ball Express. It's hidden history. And it's very important that this story be told, because although Black soldiers were not on the front lines for the most part, they were more behind the scenes. Here they were risking their lives, enemy fire, there were landmines. They literally had sandbags on the floor of their trucks to save them from any potentially exploding mines. They drove through towns that were burning with fuel trucks. Their courage is just incredible. And our story begins where Tom goes back to find a translator after the war, after he got to the Netherlands and they liberated the southern part of the country. The north was still occupied by the Nazis. And so they worked with the resistance to smuggle food during the hunger winter of 1944-45. And of course, that's the tragic winter when Anne Frank was taken. So the story is about this couple falling in love. She's a Jewish translator who's just been in hiding for 4 years from the Nazis. And of course, Tom's army, you know, the American army and the Allies have just liberated her and all of Southern Holland. So she falls in love. I mean, they fall in love and she wants to come back to Detroit. He's an African-American soldier and he's, of course, a war hero in Holland. He'd like to stay. And so things kind of drift and fall apart. And now he's trying to reconnect 60 years later.
Wow. Wow. That is an amazing journey. And I know it's going to be a phenomenal play. And so where can people still get tickets? Is it sold out yet?
Not yet. So we have two shows. We have an evening show on the 14th and a matinee on Sunday, May 15th. RedfordTheater.com is the way to get tickets online. And theater is theatre.com. There's also a phone number for people who have questions about the show. 313-462-9721. That's 313-462-9721. And we can answer any questions people have. We have a lot of veterans groups coming. And we have some of the top actors in Michigan in the play. These are stage veterans. And we also have two wonderful young actors, students who are playing the young Tom and Sarah Von Prague, who's the young translator Ja'Kari Carson and Melanie Lamrick. Carl King, the Detroit director, is a veteran of urban dramedies and very well known for his own film and theater work. He's also the grandson of Maurice King, who's a legendary Motown Review conductor, arranger, who's had the first integrated female singing group in America, touring company. So there's quite a bit of history behind Carl.
Well, and I, you know, I haven't gotten to work with, you know, the young female actress, but definitely was able to work with Ja'Kari when we did a sister act at the drive-in. And I will say he is such a well-mannered young man. He's a great actor. And, you know, this play is definitely, I'm sure it's going to be phenomenal. And knowing that he's in it, that just takes it definitely over the top. So, you know, I know we still have some World War II veterans here in Michigan. And I will say for all of you all who may be interested in learning more about this phenomenal story, Old Heart, you should definitely check it out. Go to the website that was mentioned by Roger and find out more. If you did not get that information, you can go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-MICHVET and we will try to get you connected to the play information. Roger, I thank you so much for taking this story and adapting it. You know, we know that, you know, African-Americans served in the military, and we know that not all of them came back and received the benefits that they were supposed to receive as veterans. But to see this adaptation, to see a different side of those service members, it's truly honorable what you're doing. So thank you so much for all of that.
Well, thank you. And we're very excited about working with your department. They've been just tireless in telling the story. As you point out, when they came back in Holland, of course, he had full citizenship, would have had full citizenship, full rights. In Detroit, the GI Bill and the housing benefits that went to GIs were not available to the African-American soldiers who came back. So that was another reason for him wanting to stay in Holland, and it's part mm-hmm. of our storyline. Most people, I think, appreciate the fact that, you know, they're the Tuskegee Airmen. They know that there were some just tremendous achievements by the African-American soldiers. But this particular story, I think, resonates with readers and now, of course, on stage, because it tells you exactly, basically, Sarah, who had been in hiding from the Nazis, and Tom, you know, who was very concerned about their coming back to Detroit as a mixed race couple. Remember, at that time, it was illegal in some mm-hmm. states for mixed race couples, you know, to get married. So that's part of our storyline, and it's an important part of history. The other thing I want to point out about this show, the Redford Theater, which has been delighting audiences for almost a century, George C. Scott was one of the ushers when he was growing up in Redford Township. This is the first time the Redford has actually produced a play. So we're very excited to have their creative team with us. And if you haven't been to the Redford, it's a treasure, and it's really worth checking out on our show May 14th or 15th. And we have the matinee, which makes it easy for people to get home anywhere pretty much in the Lower Peninsula by dark. So,
Well, we want to thank you so much, Roger, for joining us. We want to thank all the rest of our guests as well, Jeff Frisby, Mike Wilson, Jacqueline Ransom, and of course, again, Roger. We hope that you'll go out and see the play. If you have any questions, give us a call at 1-800-MICHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week on The Veterans Perspective.